I am here with Becky McNeely today. The Keeping Home Planner is about to drop, and I just wanted to interview her so that you guys have all the information you need for ordering your planner for 2025. So, Becky, tell us a little bit about the Keeping Home Planner.
So I created this planner for homemakers, whether you are single, whether you're married, whether you have children, whether your children are out of your house. I wanted to create a planner that would be helpful for women in all walks of life and would help them focus their energy on taking really good care of their home to the glory of God.
That's awesome. So I have been using the Keeping Home Planner for 2 years now, right? Is this the second year?
This is the third.
This will be your third year. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I love it. And it sits on my buffet in my kitchen every day. Mm-hmm. Some of my favorite things about it are the commonplace in the back of the book. So I keep notes for homeschooling in there. I keep notes for podcast episodes in there. It's just my go-to all-in-one place, my schedule for our family, and also my notes of things. I also keep like book lists in there, reading lists. So I love that about it. I love it that it has a common place in the back as well as the planner. I love it that there's plenty of space on the pages for writing out your schedule. I love it that it has like home tasks for the day and also what's it called? The right side to-do list for the day. So I do like things that I want to get done around the house on one side. And then like if someone has a dentist appointment, there's also a spot for that. It also has what we're having for dinner each night in the weekly layouts. And there's just so much about it that is perfect for a homemaker. Those are some of my favorite things. What are some things that are your favorite things? Because you use the planner too. So what are your favorite things?
So I made this planner because it was a few years ago. I couldn't find one that I liked that had all of the features that I wanted. So I thought, why not create it? And if I'm looking for one, surely there are other women looking for it as well. So I thought, why not make a product that other women can use too. And one of the things that I wanted was I didn't want annoying heresy on every page.
Yeah.
Believe in yourself, follow your heart, things like that. I don't want it littered with that. I want it focused on scripture and how to be a godly woman and go about my days in a way that's honoring to the Lord. And so every page has a Bible verse, and I have structured the Bible verses seasonally as well. So in October, they're all Reformation based verses, and in November they are verses about Thanksgiving and things like that. So just, I like the Bible verses on each page. This year, two of the new features are a year at a glance page. There's two pages at the beginning where if you know things right off the bat that you just want to jot down dates, you can do a whole year at a glance, jot down important dates there. And then another new feature is at the back, there will be an end of the year reflection. So you can look back on 2025 and say what worked really well. What are some areas that I would like God to grow me in, whether it's in homemaking or personally in other areas, spiritually, things like that. That isn't a new feature this year. And another feature is at the very beginning, the last couple of years, I have written a prayer of blessing over the homes that these planners are going to be in. And this year, I thought it would be really cool to include a spot for you to write your own prayer of blessing over your home. So at the very beginning, the very first page in the planner is a prayer over 2025 that you get to write over your family, over your home, over the tasks that God has set before you. And I'm really excited to just know that there are women all over that are praying over their homes like that. And it's something you can go back to and almost keep as a keepsake.
Love it.
And see, look, this is what I prayed for at the beginning of the year. And then at the end of the year, reflect on it and say, this is what God did.
So sweet. I love that. So where can people buy the Keeping Home Planner?
It's available on Fruitful and Fearless. If you follow Keeping Home on Instagram, there is a link in my bio there. Or you can just go to the Fruitful and Fearless website and purchase it from there.
Yeah. Thank you. And I will be purchasing mine soon. I can't wait. Welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast, where we're serving up gospel-fueled courage to the Christian woman to remain faithful in her calling. Hello and welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast. I am Jordan Sparks, and Jared and I are together to chat today.
Hello, and Merry Christmas, even though it's past Christmas. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas season.
Yeah.
So we just finished up Christmas yesterday at the point of this recording, so Christmas is over. Did you have a good Christmas?
It was great. Loved it.
Yeah,
had a lot of fun.
I think it was the best Christmas ever.
Think so? Why? What made that?
It was incredibly peaceful. And okay. I love peacefulness.
Everybody get along. Nobody was sick.
Everyone got along. Yeah, we got to go to both sides of the family, which is wonderful, because with a bunch of family, inevitably someone gets sick at some point.
You get a text.
Yeah,
hey,
some member of the family can't come. Yeah. But everyone was able to make it on both sides, and it was just a blessing to be together with everyone, and everyone just... how much of a blessing it is when brothers dwell in unity. And it's just a huge blessing when your family is dwelling in unity.
Great conversations, a lot of laughing.
Yeah.
It was really good.
A lot of sweetness. Our kids are at super sweet ages right now, and it's so fun. It's fun having a kid that's getting older and seeing him grow into himself. And then it's also fun having a baby tromping around wearing a Christmas tree hat, holding wrapping paper, and then everything in between.
Can you explain that, why he was wearing the Christmas tree hat and why he thought that was so funny?
We played a game, and the prize for the winner of the game was this funny Christmas tree hat.
And he knew it was funny.
I won the game.
But let Oak wear it.
But I let Oak wear my prize-winning Christmas tree hat, and he just thought it was so funny. We put it on him, and he'd just laugh and walk around.
This is one of the first time of just self-awareness and things that he thought was funny because other people thought it was funny.
Yeah.
And he recognized, wait a minute, I'm doing something funny here, and he loved it.
So cute. And he's also been coming up and giving us kisses, which it means he just comes up and opens his mouth really wide and tilts his head towards you.
Kind of like a baby bird going to mother bird.
Yeah, and you kiss his little mouth, and then... He giggles.
It's so cute. It's very cute.
So yeah, just what a blessing it is to have these children and to get to make sweet memories with them. And it's just awesome. It was a wonderful Christmas.
Yes, it was. And now we're sitting in a new recording space now. And the ambiance, I think, is pretty fun. And it's clean in here.
You should tell everyone about your desk you got.
Thank you for... Yeah, okay. I set you up for that. I was fishing a little bit.
Were you?
Yeah.
We love going to estate sales.
So, coffee.
I was just letting the beeping pass. But we love going to estate sales, and we went to one a couple weeks ago. Tell them about your find.
Well, we were walking around. It was an incredible estate sale, and actually, we know the story of the guy who had to sell everything. It was really actually a sad story that we'll spare you the details about, but they needed the money. We went in, and we're just looking at everything. It was an immaculate home. This guy had done such an amazing job in making a beautiful home. I mean, everything was... Just the detail to every nook and cranny of that house was astounding.
He was a contractor, so he was a woodworker, and it showed.
And you could tell he cared about everything. And he cared about craftsmanship and aesthetics. He had an eye for antiques. He and his wife own an antique store as well, we found out. Well, one of the things in his house was this old roll-top desk, and it was from the late 1800s, early 1900s, and the detail on this thing is incredible. It had, it's got all these little cubby holes and little drawers and labels and all of that, and I personally need that for organizational sake, because I regularly get confused about where things go, because I don't know where to put something, because I don't have a place for that something to go. And this has a million different things that we can actually put just stuff in. So I was pretty excited.
The sound man at our church joked with me one day, and he was like, I think there's a black hole over your house. And I was like, what are you talking about? He was like, I've bought a million flash drives, and Jared brings them home, and then they disappear.
They're the sermon sticks that, you get your sermons on, you go and edit, and then post the sermon. Well, there was an amazing price on it. I ended up getting this thing, but that means I have to sell the stand-up desk. And this thing fits so much better in our room. And it's been great. It's kind of been helpful. It's like a tool that helps me to do something. And the task that I'm trying to do for years is to be organized. And already, it's just awesome. So now we're recording on this 120-year-old desk. I got the microphone out on this kind of like butcher block thing that comes out the... It's like a desk extender.
Workspace.
Yeah, mm-hmm. A desk extender on both sides, and there's the microphone sitting on top of it.
We love old historic-y things using them in a fun way. I love aesthetics, so I like things to be pretty and really functional, so that's why I love this desk.
if you're
using it as a desk.
If you're interested, go to the Shepherd's Crook Instagram. I posted a picture
of it. Yeah, he posted a picture of it. And then I got him a cool lamp to go on top of it for Christmas, so... Really vibing the vibe in this room. Really enjoying it. So, anyways, you ready to talk about what we're actually going to talk about?
Yes.
As you pour your coffee over there in this nice, dimly lit, cute office you have. You ready for this?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So, can I call it Mother Mary?
We're not Catholic. Repudiate Catholic doctrine, but we'll call
we're
her
gonna
Mother
talk
Mary.
About Mother Mary,
not Mary the Mother of God in the way the Catholics mean it. Obviously
we're good Protestants here, and as good Protestants we often will poo-poo Mary because we've swung our pendulum away from blasphemous beliefs. So no, she wasn't divine. She's not co-reigning. We should not worship her. She's not sinless. She was not a perpetual virgin. Any other things that we should make clear that we are not believing about Mary? But
she's not our intercessor. We don't pray to her.
Right.
You know, all of the above. Basically, everything the Catholic Church says about Mary is pretty much wrong.
No magic powers.
So, right.
You shouldn't pray to her. But this past holiday season, I've been thinking of her.
But kind of ironic ways to think about her, because it was kind of through media, which I think is kind of funny, but it's helpful.
Yeah.
It's helpful sometimes.
Yeah. So the kids and I read out loud to them The Best Christmas Pageant Ever. And I really loved that book, and I do recommend it if you have not read it. And a movie came out about it this Christmas season out in theaters, and we actually rented it yesterday and watched it as a family. And
it's a comedy more than a drama.
It's so great.
It's funny. Is the book that way as well?
I mean, yeah.
Is it a comedy?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So we watched that, and we watched The Star, and both of them have got me thinking about Mary.
Well, we watch The Star every year. I think The Best Christmas Pageant Ever is going to be added to the list of movies we have to watch every year.
I think so.
Yeah.
We both bawled.
It's that good.
We were ball bags.
Oh, yeah. It's multiple times. I mean, no shame here.
Yeah. So I've been thinking about different aspects of her character. We think of her often as this sweetly silent, reserved image that you'd see painted in a picture.
Well, Mary treasured these things in her heart. So that aspect of her, we kind of think about where she is the introspective, oh, this is really sweet, this is precious. So that side of her. But these other aspects, I mean, she's like basically a lion.
Yeah. You know? So I wanted to ponder for a moment aspects of her as Imogene Herdman did from The Best Christmas Pageant Ever. On how tough and brave she was. That she was actually, yeah, like a lion. Like, she was a really bold character. It takes a pretty bad mamma jamma to do what she did. And all glory goes to God, as she would want it to, for giving her the strength and the courage to do it. But let's look at the story for inspiration today.
Okay, can I interject a thought real quick? Because I think
course.
It's important to think through things biblically and kind of compare the story a little bit with maybe stories in the Old Testament. And often we think about Noah, for instance. We think about building a boat. It hadn't rained. Him and his family are doing this. Everybody's thinking, my goodness, Noah and his family, they're crazy. What in the world are they doing here? There's no sea. Where's the ocean? There's no sea. What are they doing here? And year after year after year after year, the people would have mocked and ridiculed Noah and his family. Well, they all died. We know the story. It's like, besides Noah and his family, they got the last laugh because judgment came.
They were vindicated.
They were vindicated. Everybody who mocked them as they were beating on the door, you know, they're like, dang, Noah was right. You know, not that they were just mocking and ridiculing them back, but they, you know, they got their vindication. Well, with Mary, think about the 9 months leading up to Christ being born, and then for the rest of her life, I mean, Israel rejected the Messiah. And so most of the people in her purview, people in her community, people in her region, not just for those 9 months, wondering, oh, really? It's never happened before, Mary. I mean, really? Virgin birth? So they had the critical eye coming their way, both Mary and Joseph, and they had to do what they knew God had called them to do, and she was carrying the Messiah. And then after that, for the rest of her life, amongst a massive group of people that had rejected their Messiah. And certainly there were those in Jerusalem, and as the church began to grow in that region, and she would have been among a church, you know, member of a church. Thinking about Mary being a member of a church somewhere is pretty wild. And yet, she had to live with this reputation for the rest of her life. And so there's courage and grit that it took Noah and his family. And then we kind of you know, miss some of the courage and grit that would have been required of Mary and Joseph. And
taking Mary back. We're taking the rainbow back. We're taking it all back.
Yeah.
So let's read Luke 1, 26 through 31. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." So we see that God favored Mary, that life isn't egalitarian, that this wasn't like she was just a random woman. She was random in the sense that she wasn't special in her sinlessness or anything like that.
She didn't separate herself.
Right, but God favored her.
And this is just a prime example of what God does in our lives. Certainly this is a unique example of Mary being the virgin that was chosen. Where, you know, your dad said something interesting the other day. For those that were the believing people, those who had faith in the coming Messiah, and saw some of the Old Testament prophetic works and connected them to the coming Messiah, there would have been some of the young girls that would have thought, this virgin birth, you know, is this something that may be me? You know, of the believing house, of those that had faith, of those that God had secured for himself, of the Old Testament church that loved him, had faith in the coming work of God. And
I was just going to say that it would have been this positive peer pressure of, I want to be that virgin girl.
Mm-hmm. And then here it is, by God's grace, God favored Mary, and she got to be the one to, you know, obviously, what a privilege, but also, again, as we already stated, but a great burden placed upon her shoulder of the wandering eye of the people.
Yeah. So let's read 32 through 38. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" So, funny little side note, I got to interject and pause and interject. Oh. We had a pageant at our church.
Which was great, by the way.
It was so amazing. And we were watching it. Ransom was sitting beside me during rehearsal. And when the little girl said this line, he leaned over and said, "Did she just say, how can this be, for I am allergic?"
I'm allergic to the Messiah, sorry.
"How can this be, for I am allergic?"
We've had some funny stories from the kids in our church recently. What was the other one that... Somebody asked...
Oh, Addisi asked if Pravi's dad was Jesus.
No. No, it was Providence who was saying, and did we get to see God?
Oh, yeah. Providence was like, "Okay, so tomorrow's Christmas?" And I was like, "Yep." And she's like, "So when we wake up, it's Christmas." I was like, "Yes." And she was like, "And we get to see God?" I was like, no.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. But the Addisi thing was funny, too, because she was talking to her dad and said, "Dad, is Pravi's dad Jesus?"
Like, we're all so confused by this whole nativity situation.
It's awesome.
Okay, anyways, verse 35. And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. In her response to the angel, we see this complete submission to God's will, the acknowledgement of her role as God's servant, and this... We see this continue on throughout her life. But I just love that she was given this task set before her. And she's like, "Yeah, let it be as you say." She's not laughing.
Mm-hmm.
As Sarah.
Yeah. What's interesting, Sarah is pointed to as an example.
Yeah.
And we should be like Sarah.
Right.
You did an episode on Daughters of Sarah. And, you know, likewise, there is, be a daughter of Mary. You know, Mary didn't question God's word. She wasn't sinless. But in this moment, she did what you're supposed to.
Yeah.
Which is, you should obey. And you shouldn't question.
Sounds good.
And this is what she did. She obeyed. She's like, "Yep, you bet. Mm-hmm. I'll do this."
In verse 46, "And Mary said, 'My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. So in Mary's magnificent here, her prayer of praise for his mercy. As she carried the Savior, she didn't value her role in the matter, but was focused on God's glory and his mercy in doing this.
Mm-hmm. Or even our obedience, we turn that, we look, it's like, okay, God, I want to properly give you credit where credit is due. And any obedience in me, there's a song we sing, it was by Sovereign Grace. The words are, the strength to follow your commands could never come from me. When we look at proper posture in heart and in hands, we look rightly to God and we say, God, thank you for the strength to do what you've commanded comes from you. Even after we're born again with a proper heart, with the Holy Spirit within us, it's always the strength to do what you tell us to do comes from your hands. So God, thank you. And Mary, her posture is right in this.
Yeah. So we poke fun at the Mary, did you know song. It's like, yeah, she knew. The angel came. She knew.
Come on, Mark Lowry.
Duh. Yes, she knew generally, but did she know all the details? Did she know that her son's life would end in a cross? Did she know all that he would have to endure? Did she know the difficulty that it would mean for her? There was a lot of unknowns in carrying the Savior and being his mother, but there was this amazing faith that was on display in her saying, all right, let's do it.
Yeah. Well, if she would have known all of that, for he will save his people from their sins. Mm-hmm. She knew that.
Yeah.
If she knew the how.
Right.
I mean, talk about the anxiety of motherhood when it comes to your children, or even just being a dad and thinking about what the future holds for your children. And if you knew all the story, if God just downloaded it to her, here's exactly how it's going to happen. The realization that, okay, I'm just waiting for him to be brutally murdered. Mm-hmm. And be the substitute savior. And so, yeah, I mean, there's just like the prophecy in the Old Testament. There was the prophecy of what will happen or what will be done, but the details of how it's going to be done or how it's going to happen was left guarded or veiled until it was revealed in the work of Christ.
So when the angel came to her and said, you're going to have a baby and he's going to be the Messiah, she wasn't married at this time.
Betrothed, but in ancient culture, exactly. And it's interesting because it was like a halfway house before. It was like a greater degree than being engaged today, because to break off the engagement in our day, you just say, we've broken up. Mm-hmm. Well, there was legal ramifications. There were promises made between families in the betrothal period, even though the marriage had not been consummated yet. And so it was that middle time where to separate would have required divorce, even though they weren't yet married. So betrothal, but greater than engagement, but not yet consummated.
Yeah, but she knew what people would think of her.
Oh, of course, yeah.
She knew, this is going to be a little scandalous.
Yeah, like, oh my gosh.
And Joseph was even going to divorce her quietly. Another funny story from the Christmas season. We went to this
Night in Bethlehem,
yeah, like a nativity reenactment situation. Mm-hmm. And it ends with this beautiful moment where you're sitting in the manger.
With animals all around.
There's live animals around you, a real baby, and a Mary and a Joseph being played, and like a narrator, which is the pastor of the church, who's up reading the Christmas story. And when it gets Ransom was sitting beside me, and when it gets to the part where Joseph resolved to divorce,
put her
away quietly, Ransom looks at Joseph and just shakes his head, and Joseph gets
jerk.
And Joseph totally like cracked up and had to like put his head down. But it was just so funny because Ransom's like shaking his head like, how could you?
Yeah. You telling me you're gonna abandon her in her moment of need?
Yeah. So anyways, Joseph, before the angel came to him, was like, yep, I'm out. So Mary knew, like, this was not going to be easy. Before the angel came, Joseph didn't believe her. Even Joseph didn't believe her. So you can imagine the number of people who did not believe her when she was like, I'm actually pregnant from the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Not from another dude. Like, this is the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And Joseph, even the person that she's about to marry, did not believe her.
Well, Joseph got the dream. The people didn't.
I mean, before he got the dream.
Yeah, but then Joseph got the dream, and the people
didn't. Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
So there was no proof for
her. He got confirmation.
Yes.
He got
Thankfully,
peace.
Joseph.
But the people with that wandering eye continued to look.
Yeah.
Continued
so there was her whole community.
Suspicious. Yeah. Later, Jesus was accused as basically so this, one that was born out of wedlock.
This rumor continued to follow her the rest of her life. And she willingly took on whispers and rumors. She knew the virtue of water off a duck's back. I'll do the Lord's service no matter what it costs me, and no matter what you think of me or what you may say of me, I'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something for us to look to Mary and aspire to in her character. That we want to be the kind of people that serve the Lord no matter the cost, no matter what people say of us, and no matter what people think of us, I will do what God tells me to, even if you say bad things about me or think bad things about me.
And I think the key with all that is if God is pleased, then you can have thick skin. If you want to please people, then you're going to be tossing and turning when you go to bed at night, and you're going to be wondering, what are they thinking? What are they saying? And you've got to get freedom from that. And in the moment you may think, I'm free from that, it could rear its ugly head again, where you're just wondering, are they upset with me? What did I do? What did I not do? And certainly we want to have peace with people. I mean, that's a blessed thing, to have unity with brothers. I mean, that's what we're called to. But if you know God is pleased, if you've done the right thing, and you can have peace there.
Yeah. So let's fast forward to another aspect of her character that I think is praiseworthy. She was a low-maintenance woman. We see that she had no fancy birth plan requests. She didn't request soft music and candles, low lighting, and back rubs through her birth. But she did receive angel singing, a star for lighting, and lovely gifts from magi from afar. But she let the Lord write her story. She wasn't demanding, this is how my birth is going to go, and you all are going to fall in line with how I want this baby to come.
The girl, the creature comfort she had was literally riding on top of a creature. Yes. And the seat warmer she had on the way to where she was giving birth was literally the warmth that came from the donkey.
Yeah.
I mean, she didn't have...
Talk about not wanting to accidentally deliver your baby in the car. Like, think about the anxiety that she was feeling as she rode on a donkey's back. Like, oh my gosh, I really do not want to have a baby on a donkey's back.
From the hills and the valleys going up towards, you know, Bethlehem.
You know, she was thinking, like, is there a cave along the way? Like, where I'm going to have this baby soon. It's going to come.
Oh my gosh.
I'm going to have this baby on the side of the road.
We don't let women fly when they get in that third trimester.
Yeah.
But here she goes all the way from Nazareth to Bethlehem.
Yeah, but God took care of her. She trusted his plan instead of demanding her own. I'm sure riding that donkey 9 months pregnant wasn't part of her birth plan, but she submitted to God's story for her. I am your servant, Lord. Let it be as you say. It takes grit to say that. And it takes grit to be okay with not having the glam or the glory, and to not be a baby about it, but to be submitted to God's will. Mm-hmm. And
are you calling women babies?
I mean, yeah, including myself. but to just be okay with God's glorious story and not your own story.
Mm-hmm. Which is obviously a whole lot easier said than done.
Mm-hmm.
But that's sometimes you need a strong word to call you up out of emotional, sometimes there's emotional sabotage of yourself. And you just got to be reminded of the truth, like, hey, suck it up. And there's going to be some times in your life, ladies, that you can hear suck it up, and then other times you hear suck it up, and it just doesn't, you know, for a guy, when there's a moment, they need a word rightly spoken or word fitted for the moment, and they just need, like, dude, suck it up, do the right thing. And sometimes, ladies, there's different ways that you receive kind of a message like that, but sometimes you just need to hear suck it up, do what's required.
Do you remember that hat that I had that said suck it up, buttercup?
I think so.
Yeah. I mean, that's not a bad sentiment to have. Mm-hmm. And a whole lot of being a baby sometimes is being controlling. Like, you want to control outcomes and you want to control situations, and you think that you know best, because if certain things would go this way, you think you'd be the happiest, or the best outcome would happen if things went the way that you planned it. It's ultimately a distrust of God's sovereignty and his good plans. when really, maybe you need to ride a donkey 9 months pregnant. Just trust the Lord. He's got a good story here, and you need to rest in His will and His plan. And trust that He's good and that that's what's best for you.
It's so true. It's dawning on me now. Like most of the times that bad attitudes come from my way, it's a control issue. It's when things don't go the way I want it to go.
Man, so much peace and joy come from releasing that control. Mm-hmm. And just being like, God, this is your story. Thank you that I get to be a part of it.
Yeah.
I'm going to enjoy the ride.
We kind of think if things would just go my way, the way I want them to go,
that
and people
would
do what I want them to do, then this world would be a nice, orderly world.
Okay. I would be happiest if you would all just obey me.
We're nearsighted. Right. Right. And then when you get a group of people with that same personality all together, it's everybody's confused because the other people aren't doing exactly what they want them to do.
Yeah.
And deference, humility, recognizing that God is sovereign, that you're not. That's a critical piece to happiness and holiness in this life.
We see another beautiful example in Mary of deference as she submits to her husband when he says, "It's time to move, little lady," as they flee to Egypt.
Let's go, girl. Come on.
Mm-hmm. Time to go. Mm-hmm. You always call me little lady sometimes. And
in Providence.
Yeah. We're both little ladies. Little ladies. But I think that is a really cool thought to think of Joseph being like, all right, time to go, mama. And she's like, all right. Mm-hmm. So we see a great example of following her husband in that the angel came to him, said time to go and not to her. And she willingly submits and goes.
And the name, you know, which is apparently what that movie got wrong.
Oh yeah. We have not seen the Mary movie, but Joseph received the name
from the angel.
So she nursed and raised and cooked and cleaned and had more children and mothered Christ. And she stuck by his side till his last day, faithfully serving, faithfully being not a star of the show, but a side character, hanging in the background, washing the clothes, and making the bread. She spent her whole life kneeling in submission to God, and on her son's last day, kneeling at the cross. Mm-hmm. As her son not only dies for her sins, but continues to provide for her, when he says to John, "Woman, here is your son. And son, here is your mother." And John took her into his home.
Yeah, that's good.
Just a wonderful, beautiful ending on the relationship with Mary and her son.
Yeah. And another piece of that story is that she became a widow. Joseph at some point dies, and he's gone, and she had to grieve just like everybody else has to grieve in this life. And then he provided for her. Jesus provided for her at the end of her life. And it's an awesome story.
Yeah.
It really is.
We thought it would be a nice time of year to think about another hero of the faith.
Yep.
And the right way. So.
Yeah. Well, what did Mary say through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that we would call her? We would call her blessed. And so that's the appropriate attitude and posture towards Mary. She's a blessed woman. And ladies should want to be a blessed woman. And that's what you are in a different way, in a way that's unique to you. And what the ladies listening in are, they're blessed women. And that's a good and honorable thing.
Thanks for listening. Until next time.
Hey, everyone. We want to thank you so much for listening to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast and continuing to come back. You guys have certainly been an encouragement to us, and we hope we've been an encouragement to you as well. We want to continue this work, and we need your help to do that.
If you'd head over to the Fruitful and Fearless website, it's just fruitfulandfearless.com. You can find memberships there that are different tiers that contain different benefits to you as well. If you want to just support us for the heck of it because you're enjoying the show, that's always a blessing as well. But we try to make it even more worth it for you with recipes, groups for homeschooling and cooking, baking, natural health. We try to put as many resources on there as we can. But thank you for your support. It greatly helps our family.